Everyone, it's Christian Fuchs here. I would like to say a big thank you to our fans and keep having our back for the upcoming Premier League season as well as the Europa League. Keep watching Leicester Fan TV. They have the latest news and they keep you up to date on leicesterfantv.com. So stay tuned and thanks for your support.
Good evening. Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. My name's Phil. We've got a very, very special edition of the Fox's Tail Show. It's 24 hours late, but it's worth the wait. That's what we'll say. We were going to do this last night, but we're doing it tonight. We have got the one, the only, Captain Fantastic, Steve Walsh, joining us very, very shortly. I want your questions to Walshy. What do you want to ask him about? The 94 Silence of the Lambs, the Swindon game, all sorts of questions. You can even ask him about what he thinks we're going to do this season. It's over to you, so get your questions in. Welcome to the Fox's Tail Show.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. With special thanks to our pals at ADT Taxis, Beatman, Piglet's Pantry, Tiger, Leicester Garage Conversions, Pink Vehicle Leasing, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Moyer Wade Interiors, and our chosen charity, Memphis UK. We bring you the fans' views on the match each week, and your views matter to us. Join the fans debate each match with us. Follow us at Leicester Fan TV.
Oh, here we are. Welcome to the Fox's Tail Show. Let's hello to Matty SXX watching on YouTube. Ryan's watching on YouTube as well. Ben Tompkins is watching on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Don't forget we're streaming live on, of course, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. Good evening. Carlos is watching. How are you? Reese says he's looking forward to this one. Reese, are you excited as I am, ready to talk to Walshy? Matt says, get the legend on. Karen, hi, Karen is watching from USA, Tucson, Arizona. Very, very good. Good evening to you, LCFC Grey, and good evening to the legendary Steve Walsh. So many hellos coming in. Let's bring in Walshy. Let's start it off. Steve, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, it's great to be on your show tonight. Sorry for letting you down a couple of times, but I'm finally around now. So.
Captain Fantastic does not need to apologise to Leicester City fans for anything. You're always forgiven. And we're just very, very pleased to get you on here. I know Sink is going to be joining us as well shortly. He's got some questions for you. James Moore says good evening to you, Walshy. So does Craig
good evening,
Carver.
James, Craig, yeah.
Sharon, Ross, Baz. Oh, so many hellos. I'll try and get as many up there in there. Baz, first question off the cuff here. Baz says, that 3-3 game against Arsenal, what was said between you and Wrighty, Ian Wright?
Or, yeah. Go on. It's one of the best games I've ever played, and I can tell you. And when you ask me the question of your best goal or, you know, which game was the best you played in, this is right up there. And obviously, nothing better than getting one over on Arsenal, and who thought they'd won the game. But it was great. The elation of actually scoring. And me and Ian Wright had a bit of a run-in during the game. We always did have a lot of verbal conversations. And, you know, I just thought it was great that I could, you know, he'd had a bit of a pop before. And I thought, well, let's have a go at him now and just tell him what I think. And, but it all kicked off, as you see, straight after the game, and he come running on the pitch, and Vieira, and there was a big scrum down, if you will, and he was quite, you know, his handbags really, but it was great memories for me, and, you know, we ended up being subjected to the FA panel of Lancaster Gate, going down on the train. Martin O'Neill, I can tell you, was interesting. He never said a word the whole way down. And, you know, we got to the steps at Lancaster Gate, and Ian Wright turns up with a chauffeur-driven driver, and we've just walked 5 miles from the train station with Martin O'Neill. So you can imagine. And Ian Wright just said, "Look, Walsh." He turned around just before we got the door and said, "I'll give you a signed shirt if you're from that match. If you just say nothing." So I thought, "Oh, God, Ian Wright, we'll do that." And that was it. So bizarre, and nothing happened. But it was great. What a memory, you know.
I was going to say, from a fan's point of view, I remember I was stood in the car. Yeah, it was still standing back then in that game, I believe. And that Filbert Street was just explosive that night. It literally was. Yeah. On big nights like that, there's not many places better.
You know, you go to the King Power now, and I must admit, you know, for some of them games in the Champions League was incredible, you know, what they do now. But I'm still, you know, the old school, and Filbert Street was electric, like you say. And to score a goal, you know, in the Kop End, you couldn't imagine, from my point of view, the feeling. You know, I've actually been in the away end at a lot of Leicester games, and I can understand the adrenaline rush you get from actually being in that cup. You know, it is like nothing else. But me scoring in front of you guys was even, you know, twice that adrenaline rush that you get. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get there now. And yet, you know, still the memories stay forever, and I can still just picture that goal.
Sonderax, who's watching on YouTube, says, "Walshy, any chance you can come out of retirement? We're a bit short. We could do with some."
Well, if I could, I would. I need two new knees. I'm struggling to walk these days. But you know me, I think I'll have a go at it.
I know. I bet you would as well. I bet you would.
Something we'll probably go on to talk about, really, is the positions at the minute. And obviously, with Johnny Evans suspended, we've got a bit of a dilemma. So it's something we'll probably speak about. But for me to play these days, I'm completely finished. And, you know, I've got to have my knees done at some point. I'm just trying to spin it out. I've had enough of operation. So I'm just leaving it at the moment.
Not yet. Carlos is watching, and he says, "Who was the best striker you played against in the Premier League?"
Yeah, that's a great name, Carlos Gonzalez.
Should we sign him on, Steve?
You know what?
It sounds like our next signing.
Yeah, he does.
Carlos Gonzalez. Yeah,
that's right.
£20 million.
Yeah, you look back at the players, you know, Kenny Dalglish from the early days who I played against, you know, you look through the years, and then there's Teddy Sheringham comes into it. There's Shearer, you know, Henry. Bergkamp for me was absolutely, you know, top draw. So I've got it. He's right up there. But there's so many in them days. And, you know, I don't see that. I don't know whether the quality these days is as good as what we play. It's a different era, different times. Pitches are different. Boots are different. Footballs are different. But it moves on in every decade. And I still believe that the decade that we played in, you know, and did so well against the top Man United teams and Arsenals, and them players were, you know, you look at them, the legends that we played against, and there's so many of them. But Bergkamp, for me, he just had that X factor in his movement, in his presence, in his touch. He was just a genius in his vision and awareness. So I'd say Bergkamp right up there, you know, Shearer, all these players would be up there as well.
Ross Howard, bit cheeky here, says, "Do you remember when you elbowed Chris Sutton?"
I do, yeah.
He says you deserve a medal. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to Blackburn Rovers when he stitched Matt Elliott up in a situation where I thought he should have pulled out. Really, he knew what he was doing, and it was a really bad eye injury for Matt Elliott, and I'd remembered that, and it was almost like, you know, we had to get him back, but it was just the stupidest red card, and it cost me nearly 60-70 grand. That did, because I missed the cup final through it.
And, yeah.
So it was my heaviest suspension in the terms of financial situation. So when the impact of that was catastrophic for me, you know, so it wasn't great. Do I regret it? No, because I didn't, you know, I don't know. Chris Sutton was arrogant, and there was a free kick and he was nipping me from behind and I just elbowed him. So there's it. That's my right elbow. I'm doing it again. Yeah. As well. No. But we all seemed bad when I did, you know. But don't forget, I was brought up the old way, and you know, you can't do that. You know, imagine now these days, I'd never get through a game, would I?
I don't think so, Steve. Let's add in Sinky. Sinky, can you hear us?
Sinky, great.
Could I just mention, going back to the Arsenal game, obviously you mentioned how good Bergkamp was and he got a hat-trick that night. Actually, when he scored that third goal, I was commentating at the time, and actually that commentary didn't make it into a football museum up in Manchester somewhere, which I discovered by accident. But yeah, you're quite right. What a game it was. I think actually after Walshy scored and the final whistle went, I think Wrighty ran off the bench towards you, didn't he, as well?
He did, yeah, so that's what happened. Yeah, it was silly to do that. You know, there was no contest, but it was just, it was funny in the end, really, but it was great. Leicester fans loved it. And, because to get one over Arsenal's always, we didn't get many opportunities or points against Arsenal, and it was just great to get that equaliser after Bergkamp had torn Matt Elliott apart. So we at these Q&As now with Matt, we always bring this subject up and laugh and joke about it. But he was a great player.
Back to the Brian Little days. Obviously, you know, you talked about having sendings off, and you got converted to a striker. What are your memories of that process?
Yeah, well, the memories are good. Quite simple. It relates to red cards, I got sent off a couple of times, I think, and Brian Little had said to me that he had to do something, and he just kind of shoved me up front, you know, and I went on a scoring spree. I scored about 8 in 9, I think, 8 goals. Yeah. You know, and I did it in training with Brian Little. I'd always, you know, in five-a-side, I'd always be up front. I didn't like playing at the back. Too much pressure on defenders. If you make a mistake, you're crucified. So when it still is the same, it's high pressure for defenders, and there's a freedom for forwards. But if you're scoring goals, it's the best place to be on the pitch is up front. And I certainly caused a lot of problems and linked up well with Joachim, speedy mate, you know, in a sense. It worked. And, you know, if we were up against it sometimes, that tactic worked quite well. And I wish that sometimes we implemented it in one of the last games. None of those Man United late on. I think we needed something, and I think one of the centre backs went up front. I thought we could have done that earlier, 20 minutes earlier, and it worked so well. But we want to play it out from the back all the time, which I understand that's the new way and the way we've got to do. But in a pressure situation like that, sometimes you've got to just get it out of your feet and play it up. You know, and have to go and try and force something, a mistake from someone, and we don't use that weapon enough. So it's something that's going out, you know, it's grown out of the game, really.
Could I just ask you about the Derby game? Because I, at Wembley, because I was behind the goal where you scored. And actually, after you'd scored, I think your eyes just went. And I thought you were going to run into me. And then suddenly, luckily, in a way, I suppose you veered away.
Well, I didn't see you I'd have kissed you if I'd have seen you. But,
you know, I think you were just in a world of your own.
I was, and because so many things were going through my mind, you know, not just the exhilaration and it was just the fact that I'd gone through so much that season, and you know, it looked like I'd scored the winning goal, and it was. So it was incredible for me to go through. You know, I was never fit for that game I played. You know, I'd had a cruciate operation that year, played one game, I think. And for me to come back and get the winner was incredible. So that's, you know, a lot of people ask that question, is that the ultimate game that was for you? And I guess, in a way, yeah. I can't say no to that question, but there's so many things that, you know, happened, and so many last minute goals that winning, lifting the cup, it was just a roller coaster ride from start to finish. And the 90s for me, to play at Wembley 6 times, I think, or 7 times, you know, in that decade, was incredible. I should have played against Tranmere, really. I cost myself with that silly elbow we talked about earlier. And I should have been there lifting that, you know, that cup. Who knows what would have happened. But great for my partner, Matt Elliott, to do that, especially for him. He scored two goals at Wembley. Me and him are, I don't know, the only two in Leicester, I think, who have scored in the final at a playoff like that. So it was great. It was great. And what a game, Derby. And against the old enemy, they didn't like me and I didn't like them. And it was simple. The relationship wasn't nice. But when I look back, I've got respect for Derby and Forest and Wolves, and I love them in the league with us. Them games were incredible, and you'll go to Steve Bull and Wolves. You look back and the fans, how they created a Walsh v Bull situation was unbelievable. Every game I played in, it was scary just going out for the warm up,
So. I mean that relationship you had with Steve Bull, which was quite venomous during the matches, I think blossomed, Steve, into a good friendship.
It only blossomed when we'd finished our careers. Yes. When he played on the pitch, I really literally wanted to kick him off the pitch, as simple as that, as quick as I could, because he was a handful. And I'd do anything in my powers to do that. He kept getting up, the bully, he was quick, he chased everything, he was hard to play against, and he was a difficult player for me to play against, but he we had a lot of respect for each other in the end. We stayed at our clubs for a long time and loyal to that club, which he was. We both could have probably moved away, but decided to stay. So, they were great days.
You talked, just going back to the 94 playoff final, we had a chat with Brian Little about 6-7 weeks ago, and he said that day when he put you up top, he thought his job was on the line if it hadn't come off. He thought he would. It was much of a gamble. And
when he sat down with us and named the team, I thought he got it wrong completely. I really did. I didn't see that coming at 12 o'clock before the game. I absolutely thought this is wrong. It doesn't feel right. it worked. I mean, Derby missed a lot of chances, don't forget, in that game, and should have really done better. But, in the end, Brian's made the right, moves, and it's worked. The plan worked, and it took a lot of people by surprise, but, it worked, and it was indebted to him for what he did, because it made me an instant hero with Leicester.
And, Steve, you touched on it earlier. We call that a plan B. Leicester fans now on here, we still talk about it. Last season, we talked about it to death. Plan B for Leicester City. There is times, and you did touch on it, where you just think when we're perhaps losing 1-0 or we need something in the last 5 or 10 minutes, we think we've got somebody like Wes Morgan.
I do. I think it worked well.
What have you got to lose when you are losing?
Yeah, there's nothing to lose, absolutely. And I'd like to see it, now and again happen, because it does take, especially now, teams don't expect that, and yet... we know that times have changed, but I still think that it could, cause a few problems. We've got some big lads there at the back, who I think could do that similar job, but it's not chosen way. We know how football has developed and changed, and it does frustrate me a little bit sometimes when there's 10 minutes left and we're still trying to play out when we're one down or whatever, and you've got to get back in the game. But, saying that, we have scored some last-minute equaliser, and you look at the football we play. We play some fantastic stuff. So there's an argument now of how to do it, but still, that is one for the jury. In our college games, I would I definitely resort to that tactic sometimes, and call it long ball. Yeah, but it's effective sometimes.
Yeah, we did used to score a lot of headers from corners in your day. Defenders coming up, we seemed to get a lot of goals in that era. That way, didn't we?
We did, and we had players who knew. Like myself, I attacked the ball and you remember how high we get when you jump from the edge, when you've got a run at someone. See, there's a few goals we've given away by zonal marking. I don't agree with zonal marking. I do sometimes, as long as you've got one player that can attack the ball from a corner. We have conceded two or three goals, I think, through zonal marking where someone's running and headed the ball. Just like if they did that and I was playing, if they didn't get a block on me, I'd score every time against Leicester. I know I would, but it you know, I was dangerous and I was fearless and I would go in where it hurts, and people don't do that anymore. And the heading the ball doesn't really, you know, it's not as, it's not with the modern day football, it's not, you know, people don't head the ball as much as we did. And obviously it's different. Right through the decades. Obviously, Birchinell, Alan would tell us stories about how different it was. And my dad goes on about, you know, put the keepers in the back of the net in them days.
Yeah.
And heading one of them balls, you could imagine. So, yeah, listen, it has changed, but still got footballs with the same kind of weight and things like that. But they go a lot faster these days. Yeah. Pitches are different. But yeah, it's a great fact that it worked for Leicester, and it's not in the modern game, but it's still, I'd like us to, you know, sometimes use it. And I think we will. I think Brendan's got, he's not daft. I think that in situations, you know, I think a couple of managers before him, I would say, would never think of that. And that was frustrating, you know, and I think Brendan might do now and again. So let's see, you know, we might not be in that position, but we'll see.
I mean, Walshy, obviously you're a defender for Leicester. You scored 53 goals as well for Leicester, which is like right up there in the
62, I think it was, mate. Yeah,
62. I've done you a disservice.
You're on. You've got a Wikipedia. It's wrong, I think. So 62 it was, and if I think there's one missing, I think it's 63. I've had this argument with John Hudson,
which is the one then? Which is the missing one?
It was my 16th goal that season in 93. So I actually scored 16 goals in that season. That was my last one in that final. And I believe that wasn't put down. But I think John has agreed. And I think it is 63 goal. But I'll ask him again and double check before everybody sends messages in saying it's 62.
What the question somebody was going to lead on to that as well was asking about, again, from your time to now time, Do you feel Leicester at the moment with Vardy and effectively Iheanacho, do you think we are a striker short at the moment? Do you think we could do with pulling one in? Is Slimani back? Again, there's a few questions around.
I'd like to think that we would, you know, Brendan's not stupid. I think in the market, he's quite shrewd. You know, I think Leicester have been very good in the transfer market. They're very careful. They can compete with the best in terms of financial money that's been put into transfers now. We're competing with a lot of the big clubs, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we've got some players that you're getting good value for. I think it was good money for Chilwell. Slimani, we paid a lot of money for him, and he's not been, okay, he's not had a fair chance, but I don't, you know, he's not done it for me. Iheanacho is nearly there. He's a nearly man. He's, you know, not quite. So it's an area that Brendan will be looking at carefully, especially if Vardy gets injured. We have a problem. I think everybody knows that. And I wouldn't, you know, I watch this space. It's simple as that. You know, if there's no more signs, I think that we've got a squad that is very good, but it's going to need bolstering in certain areas, which I think, you know, you look at the start of the season, Johnny Evans is out, Big Wes is, how long can he carry on? He's good, great for some games in the Premier League. You see him, he fits back in there, but will he get caught out? I don't know. And will it be time for him to think about something else? Again, that's up to the player himself and the club. But he's a brilliant, you know, when I think of Wes now, I still, when he stepped in, what was the last game he played? He played in a couple, didn't he, towards the end? And
came in towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, there was one game he slipped right into, but brilliant, you know, and he, I think we won 1-0 against somebody, and was it Sheffield United? And he had a brilliant game. You know, I thought, look at that, what a decision that from the manager to bring him in, careful thought. And, you know, Wes is still a dressing room player that we need. He keeps that team spirit together. But he can't go on as well. So you've got to look at, you know, Evans and Soyuncu would be number one choices, obviously. Whether we play a different formation with three at the back, then, you know, we've got Bennett, Ryan Bennett, which, you know, is still not tried and tested enough. I think he's played well, but he's got caught out in one of the games a little bit. You know, he got found out a little bit. So, you know, but I think the tactic looked quite good for me, that back three at times. And obviously in games, we have to play different formations and different scenarios and to combat different shapes from other teams. So it's a real mind game for a manager in what you do. So, you know, you look at these younger players coming through. Fantastic to see. Luke Thomas did really well for me. I think that there's a lot to come from him. James Justin, who almost can play, he could play in the back three as a centre-back even, looking at him if he's, you know, with a Johnny Evans or someone who can just help him a little bit. So he's got room to play in three or four positions. So that's a good thing for a manager. But there's going to be, you know, we do need to strengthen. And you see the top clubs are paying a lot of money. I don't think whether they've done it right with some of the signings. I'm not sure. Newcastle, Bay, Wilson, and, you know, a lot of money. Will it work? Yeah, probably will. But, you know, are they good enough to compete against the top four? What are we looking at? Are we looking at competing again against the top four and getting it breaking into the top four? Are we top six, or are we going to be lower? Who knows? And it's important that you look at the fixtures, and we've got, you know, two, three, four games in the first three or four that we've got to win three of them, I think, early on to get a good stronghold in the league.
Yeah, and obviously we're waiting on Pierre to come back, which I think will be a bonus.
Yeah,
and,
you know what?
I put Madison, of course, has got to get fit. So how long will it be until we can see them again, I wonder?
I know Ricardo's been, you know, obviously what a player he is. And I believe that, you know, maybe James Justin Ricardo could even play in that position. So that right side is pretty much, you know, very strong. Obviously, Chilwell's left now. Will Luke Thomas be the one? I think he'll be working hard to establish and keep his place. You know, Harvey Barnes has done ever so well. And don't forget, these young lads are learning the trade and they need time. You know, the demands are high in this league, and you've got to sometimes, as a manager, that you've got to, and what people don't understand is that, you know, young players can get really found out and their careers can be over if they're not looked after and brought in at the right time and nurtured in the right way. Although in our days it was different, you were thrown in, you know, and yet you see young players coming in and really taking off. So some players need time. You've got foreign players who come in, sometimes they need a little bit more time just to settle in. And I think the squad as a whole, you know, we've got the makings of something good. I think we're building the right foundations for the future. We've got fantastic training ground. So that's why, you know, what we are, we're very careful with money. And you know, I think that Brendan's the right man in charge. I think he's done well overall, tactically. So, you know, it is good times at the moment. And we were so close, you know, to get into a cup final. We were so close to getting that Champions League fourth place.
Yeah.
For me, it could have been wrapped up a lot earlier. And we were unlucky in a lot of ways, but so were other teams. And you could see Man United's momentum took them through in the end. And it was a shame, because I really thought we were a better team than Man United in that last game. I thought we played better than United. It was so disappointing. You know, I had a good feeling that we were going to win that game, and but we missed out narrowly. So it's been with so many things have happened in history books with Vardy, and obviously scoring 9 goals against Southampton. So it's been a great season when you look at it, but everyone feels, because we just missed out, it feels like we've lost everything, you know. But listen, that's football, and you go again.
You go again. Steve, before we let you go,
yes.
I've had quite a few questions. 2007, you took your name into the ring to be like Leicester manager. It's never quite happened. Oh, trust me, there would be 30,000 fans love you to be manager.
I know.
Leicester, one day. But tell us briefly, do you think you ever could be one day? And tell us about AFDA, which is your academy.
Yeah. Listen, come on. My time, I'm out of football too long to go back into this game. Although, you know, it'd be nice to be involved in a professional club, but I'm happy. You know, what I do with Muzzy at our academy is quite rewarding with, you know, Advanced Football Development Academy. We've got a big education football program. We're trying to find pathways for these young lads, and we get them into employment. We know that many contacts and people. So, and we've got a real good family and team spirit down there that we've got a big intake this year. So it's great. But, you know, when I look back at management, I've missed out narrowly, I think, when I first left. But, you know, as I left Leicester, that shouldn't have been allowed, really. I should have been, you know, gone into my coaching badges straight away, been part of the team. But Peter Taylor was thought otherwise. And so I'm still not, you know, I'd never talk to him the way that he pushed me out of the club because, you know, between you and me, there was a few things that how he did it was wrong. And I've lived with it. I'm still hurt by it. But, you know, life goes on again and we go again. But football is still in my blood. I watch, you know, it's great that I'm ambassador for the club. I enjoy what I do at Leicester City Football Club and around the community. So I've got, you know, now I'm just starting to feel a bit better about things around, you know, what I do in the community. So it's great.
Steve, the fans will nag me if I don't ask you about Peter Taylor now. You've opened the door there. You're allowed to say any more.
Can I swear then or not? I better not swear, but Peter Peeler, you know, I'll smack him the next time I see him if he comes down to Leicester. I'm telling you, that's how bad it goes. So there you go.
Yeah. We've got that. Thank you, Olshay. You're treated the same as Chris Sutton, Steve Bull, and the rest.
That's right, yeah. You've got a great show, Phil. I've enjoyed it, and I'll tune in a little bit more. I didn't realise it was this good.
The one thing I'll say about Peter Taylor is he never looked you in the eye when you were interviewing him.
He always looked right. He was just bizarre. He just wanted me out, and the way he did it was wrong and offered me more money to leave. You know, it's just wrong. Right. You know, it's not in the ethics of what I deserved. You know, if he'd have pulled me to one side and said, look, you know, Steve, I think it's time you're packed. You're not going to be in my plan. Anything like that, you know, would have been better than the way that, you know, you're sending somebody out on the training pitch to offer Wolves to me. I went to train for Wolves in Wolves, you know, bizarrely enough, the fans would have killed me. Imagine that. Jeez.
Yes, I can imagine, yeah. Mind you, it's a bit like David Speedy coming to Leicester.
Well, that was, yeah. And Speedy got, you know, the very first day he got nailed on in the treatment room by his throat. So, for diving down. So,
well, we all knew he died.
He was quite nice to deal with, Dave, actually.
He was a nuisance. He was a mess. And he was still... I forged a good relationship with him in the end. Me and him worked. It was, you know, similar to Joachim in a way, even though he didn't have pace, but Speedy could finish. And it was that big striker and little, you know, that Brian liked, and it worked.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, John, for joining us tonight. It's great. Been great having Sinky back with us. And, of course, Steve Walsh. And, Steve, if there's any young talent in Leicestershire, they need to go to AFDA Academy, don't they?
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, we're always open, and it'll be 16-year-olds now. So, we've opening another site in Colville. I've not told anybody that, so you're the first to know that.
Exclusive.
That's been agreed today, so that will go ahead next September. So it's great. We've got about 60, 70 kids. Well, no, we've got about 80 kids now this year doing a degree programme as well. So there's a lot of pathways for these kids, and it's quite rewarding for me and Muzzy now that we're giving something back in a nice way.
Brilliant. Thanks, Steve, for joining us. Thanks, Sinky. I'll let you both go. Join us again soon, Walshy, anytime.
Yeah, that'd be great. I will do.
I'll let the chaps go. Wow, how about that, everybody? That has been absolutely brilliant. Some stories there from Walshy. Peter Taylor, not a fan of. Steve Ball, Chris Sutton, Derby. Oh, we could talk with Walshy for a week, couldn't we, and do that. Let's get your final few comments in here. Chris says, Walshy should have given Sutton an elbow with the right and Taylor with your left. I think we're going to have to leave this. Ross is bringing in Dennis Wise. We don't want to go there either. Chris Gutteridge says, we all love Peter Taylor. This is turning into Peter Taylor bashing. Walshy will be pleased. Listen, thanks everybody for watching and getting your comments in. It's been another brilliant Foxes Tales show. The season is nearly with us. It is West Brom on Sunday, tomorrow night, Friday night, we've got a fan zone show, 7:30 with Locke, so join that. And on Sunday, we've got the aftermath show with Jamie from the Foxes Arms in Alcudia at 10 a.m. Then we've got a pre-match show, which will be at 1:30. We've got halftime, which will be surprisingly at halftime. And then at full-time, as soon as that whistle goes, you join us here. You can come and celebrate Leicester winning at West Brom. My name's Phil. This is Leicester Fan TV. See you all soon.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. With special thanks to our pals at ADT Taxis, Feed Me, Piglet's Pantry, Tiger, Leicester Garage Conversions, Pink Vehicle Leasing, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Moyer Weight Interiors, and our chosen charity, Memphis UK. We bring you the fans' views on the match each week, and your views matter to us. Join the fans' debate each match with us. Follow us at Leicester Fan TV.